Yeah, we're on, well, I'm not sure what page you guys have. Page 13? My page number is a little different. So with anxiety, real quick, I want to give you a little case study on me. I want to give, then we'll do one more case study in depression. So when I was, I went to the master's college studying biblical counseling, and between my junior and senior year, I was in charge of creating a curriculum, like a biblical curriculum for the school in Ventura where I grew up, and for like a summer day camp, I was in charge of writing all the notes for like what are we going to study each day for the kids. And on top of that, I was in charge of leading about 50 people on a mission trip to an orphanage in Honduras. All the details and writing Bible studies for that, for daily devotions and so on. So it's just a lot. And I thought I could handle it, and I was just really prideful. The last day, after the trip, me and the guy who was in charge of everything, who I was his assistant, him and I and two other people went to the island of Rotan off the coast of Honduras. Beautiful island, great for snorkeling. So we went on just a little vacation, like we got to rest a little bit. But it wasn't restful for me at all. I went snorkeling, never been snorkeling before, got out pretty far, started to panic, thought, I'm going to drown here, I'm going to die, and went back. I didn't die, but I'm not a strong swimmer, and so I went back, and just my stomach was just jacked up, just discussing things I don't need to discuss. But then it started to get better. So I went back to school senior year, full load of classes. I need to graduate. I was like six classes, like 18 units, which is a lot. And a couple weeks in, started to get worse. Even Sarah, my current wife, currently my wife, before we were friends. Sorry, guys. We were friends at the time. And she saw me. She's like, Mama, you don't look good. What's wrong? I was like, I don't feel good. I'm sick. And so she was concerned. At one point, I went home. I lived about an hour away from the college. I went home. I was like, Mom, I can't do this. I can't handle this. I can't handle college. I can't handle life. What do I do? I am physically sick. I can barely eat. I can't sleep. So she took me to our family doctor. I had some blood tests done. Thankfully, there was no like parasites and stuff from, because that's what you thought. Maybe you got sick from parasites and drinking water in Honduras. I don't know. That wasn't it, which actually one of my counselors at school said, I hope that's it, because that's fixable. That's fixable really easily. It wasn't it. He diagnosed me depressed and anxious, gave me a couple pills. I went back to school. I decided I need to go back. I took like 3 days off of school. Went back, talked to one of my profs. I said, look, I got to drop your class. I'll figure something out later. And it's like the deadline to drop classes before like you fail. Thankfully, I got in. it was a great class. I was bummed to miss that. But then I talked to my pastor, the youth pastor I worked with. I was one of his interns, and talked to a counselor at the college. I said, look, like I'm a counselor major, but I don't know how to handle my anxiety. I don't know, what do I do? And they both helped me think through the issues of life. They gave me practical guidelines for homework, verses to memorize, a lot of things we just discussed. Helped me think through that. And over the course of, 6 months, things really drastically changed. And by the grace of God, today I still struggle with anxiety at times, so I have to battle that because I'm still human. But by the grace of God, I think it's a lot less than it used to be. Now, Eric can testify to that. There's times where he had to really help me think through. First time I'm up to Jackson, March 2008, I got a call from my wife. Hey, I'm 6 months pregnant with our son. I have to go into the hospital because they think I'm having the baby. So I'm like,
What?
I freak out. Anxiety kicks back in, just how it was. And it's, so I still have to battle it every day. Every day I still have to think through my anxious thoughts. Okay, just so you kind of know a little bit where I'm coming from. Anxiety is real for me. But by the grace of God, I'm not a, you know, I battle it with his word and with the help of the community of believers around me. So, some definitions here of anxiety. First, what it is not. Anxiety or worry, you could say it's the same thing, is not proper care and concern that causes you to attend to business in a responsible way. You know, Paul says, I'm anxious for all the churches. I don't think he was being overly anxious in a way that, as we'll look at later, is harmful. I think he was properly caring for the churches. So anxiety is not proper care and concern that causes you to attend to business in a responsible way. Worry or anxiety is not right planning. Oh, you're just so anxious, like you plan your trips. Yeah. Oh, you plan, like, I've heard some people say, maybe I shouldn't say that. Never mind. No. You know, you're planning right. You're planning, you know, I when I meet with somebody for counseling, I plan what I want to say to them. Right, Mike? We do that, right, as we counsel people. If, you know, some people say, though, you just need to trust God and, like, and not be anxious about it. I'm not being anxious about it. I'm just preparing. That's planning. That's okay. That's good. I want to plan for that. Right, as doctors plan for a surgery, they're being wise about planning, not being anxious about the surgery. They're planning for it in a wise, responsible way. That's not anxiety. You might have anxious thoughts in the midst of that. We'll get to that. Right. You're educated, so I'm going to do things based off of what I know to be true and right planning. That's great. Thanks, Joey. And anxiety also is not care and concern for the well-being of others. Yeah, Paul, I'm anxious for the churches. Right. So that's not what that means. And however, as we'll talk about, sometimes people who come in, who are anxious, come in to see a doctor or a counselor or something, oftentimes it's because of these, but maybe they're just heightened. So they are these things, or maybe they're concerned for the well-being of others, but it's to such a degree that it's become debilitating or overwhelming or something, right? What worry is then, it's just over-anxious concern for the future. Again, a lot of times, it's very similar to fear, right? Over-anxious concern for the future. We see that in Matthew chapter 6, right? Christ says, do not worry about what? What you'll wear, what will you eat, what will you put on? They're concerned about things that they have no really control over. Right? John MacArthur says, this anxiety is at its core an inappropriate response in light of the circumstances. Is very different from the cares and concerns of life that cause people to attend to business, again, in a responsible way. Ed Welch says, worry is not simply an emotion that erodes our quality of life or a pain to be alleviated. He says, it is a misdirected love. I like that. A misdirected love that should be confessed. It is trying to manage our world apart from God. And we see that in Matthew 6. But one of the great things that we see, and we're going to get to this, but I want to give you a preview now, is God says, look, don't be anxious about these things. Don't be trying to control these things that you're not in control of. But he says, look at the birds of the air, verse 26. They do not sow, they reap, they gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth, what? Much more than they. Again, a preview of what we're going to talk about, how to deal with over anxieties, because God loves us. He cares for us. More than we can ever imagine or think. It is incredible how much God cares for us. Now, why do we get anxious? Sorry. Why do we get anxious? We get anxious for a couple reasons. Number one, for physical reasons. Because some medical causes going on in our body, such things like a heart attack, or we have a hyperactive thyroid, we have drug abuse, physical, various, you know, medications that we may take, may cause us to have anxious responses to life. Maybe we have high blood pressure. Maybe we have cancer. My dad recently went to the doctor. He's had a tumor in his brain. before he got taken out, and it seems like it's growing back. So he's anxious about that, understandably. Right, and we're all kind of anxious about that, like what's going to happen. But they said it's not life-threatening now. They're going to look at it again 6 months and see what happens. Thankfully, when it came back before, it was not non-cancerous. But still, you never know. Other hormone conditions can cause us physically to have anxious responses. Now, again, even just other health concerns you may have. You have pain somewhere, you have things going on. Like, what is this? This might cause you to be anxious. Okay, those are reasons why we get anxious. However, sometimes the physical conditions we have are caused by our anxiety. One of the things I didn't say in my testimony was that my extreme anxiety caused me to have an ulcer, which is why I couldn't eat and which is why I lost about 35 pounds. Because I had physical issues caused by my anxiety. If you talk to a lot of doctors about people who have ulcers and other stomach issues, honestly, oftentimes it's because of anxiety in their life, really. The stats are pretty incredible. Weight loss can be a response from anxiety. Headaches can be a response from anxiety. Again, various other stomach issues are caused by anxiety. Okay? So we can get anxious because of physical reasons. Now, again, having ulcers and weight loss and headaches, those exacerbate the anxiety, so it just creates, it's a big cycle, right? But also just life circumstances can cause anxiety, right? Having a new job or losing a job, having children, getting married, getting divorced, having too much money can cause anxiety. Not having enough money can cause anxiety. Dating can cause anxiety. Oh, trust me, dating. And, oh, I've had conversations recently. Like, let's talk, friend, about your anxiety with dating. It's been great. Moving can cause anxiety. New technology. Our phones can cause technology. My computer updated randomly. Thankfully, I just finished the PowerPoint, and then like my computer shut off. I'm like, what? It says updating computer should take like 2 hours. I'm like, thankfully I'm done. that caused some anxiety. Like, I hope this thing gets done by tomorrow morning. again, doing something new, right? Again, and driving through town square causes anxiety. Right? Yeah. That's right. So, but however, we have to realize this, that anxiety, it says up there, anxiety is not caused by a specific problem, though. Right? Because anxiety is a reaction to that problem by us. Let me give an example of that. Two people maybe stuck in traffic here in Jackson. Maybe they're on Broadway here coming to the town at Albertsons or on the town square or something. Two people are stuck in traffic. One is super anxious because he's late for work. I got to get to work because my boss said if I'm late again, I'm going to get like dock pay. He's anxious. He's worried about it. The other person is on vacation. He's stoked like, oh, this is great. Look at this beauty. Look at this creation. Man, this is great. Look at this. I'm no cares, no anxious, no anxiety of the world. Same circumstance, different response. Anxiety is not caused by a specific problem. Okay? But our reaction, our response to that problem. Again, not making it any less real or any less difficult, but we have to understand that point. Again, Ed Welch says from his book, Running Scared, worry is focused inward. It prefers self-protection over trust. It can hear many encouraging words, even from God's word, and stay yet unmoved. It can be life-dominating, absolutely. It is connected to your money, your desires, and it reveals what's valuable to you. It can reveal that you love something more than Jesus, and it crowds Jesus out of your life. I've known that to be true, and I'm sure you have at times as well. Another quote in there from John MacArthur. Sometimes people assume worry is a result of too much thinking. I think this is a great, great quote for this point, because he says, actually, it's a result of too little thinking in the right direction. If you know who God is, understand his life purposes and promises and plans, it will help you not to worry. It's great. As we talked about that with fear, right?
Again, we can look at the, some of the psychological disorders that are out there, diagnosed from anxiety, various different anxiety disorders and so on. Many different things. Many different people struggle with these problems. Remember, I think 18% of all adults in the U.S. right now are somehow diagnosed with some sort of anxiety disorder. It's a lot. It's a lot, right? So there's and all these different things going on there. Now, with, again, with OCD, you see their notes. OCD in its pronounced form affects about 1 in 50 people. That's again, that's not a lot of people. 1 in 50. It is worry run amok, if you will. The obsession is an intrusive idea that feels impossible to dislodge. Like I have to count the bricks on the floor over there. I have to turn the lights off and on a million times. And the compulsion side is the action intended to neutralize the obsession. So if I do it, I will feel better. If I do this, my anxiety will be relieved. Right? It's a fear anxiety issue. Good. Now, what does the Bible say about anxiety? Again, valid concern becomes anxiety, and therefore I would argue is sin, because Matthew 6 says anxiety is sin. Says do not worry. Philippians 4 says be anxious for nothing. So to do the opposite of that is sin. I remember the first time I learned that. I read a booklet, I read a pamphlet about worry and anxiety, and said it's because it's a sin. There is hope. Why? Because you can repent of that. God can change you, and you can overcome that. I remember reading that, and I was floored. I was like 20. I said, what? Are you kidding me? This is incredible. There is hope because the reality that we are sinners, the hope is that Christ changes us. Right? So valid concern becomes anxiety and therefore sin. There's several things there. We're focused on the future, unproductive thoughts. It's controlling me. We're neglecting responsibility. It damages my body. I lose hope and I stop functioning. But why is worry wrong? You know, Matthew 6, it's a great place to go. This is one of the verses, the sections of verses that I memorized, I studied. I was in Matthew 6, 25 through 34 for months. Okay? And really verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there your what? Heart will be also. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one, love the other. Be devoted to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth or mammon or really God or anything else. Right? So this is for this reason, do not be worried about your life. What you eat, what you drink, what you be put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Again, look at the birds of the air. Verse 27, who of you being worried can add a single hour to his life? Right? And then verse 30, but God so closes the grass of the field, which he is alive today, tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, and he will not much clothe you. Oh, you of little faith, do not worry then saying, what will we eat, what should we drink? Gentiles seek for these things, but then verse 33, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Right? And so, just to keep those verses in mind, why worry is wrong, number one, the Greek word there for anxious, Matthew 6, it stresses the action and the effects of worry, and the word literally means to divide, to rip apart, to tear apart, and to be unduly concerned. Interesting. That's what the Greek word means, to be unduly concerned or distracted in your attention. That's the word there for anxious in Matthew 6. But it's wrong because it's unproductive. It's a lack of faith. See that there? Guess not. I don't have that slide. I thought I did. It's unproductive. Again, it accomplishes nothing. It's a thief of your time. It controls your mind. It blurs your vision, not thinking clearly. Again, it damages your body and so on, right? Remember, you see point three there. It's unnecessary. Why? Because God loves you. God is able to take care of your needs. And God is trustworthy. Now, what this doesn't mean, again, that this is not health, wealth, prosperity. If I trust God, I'll have filet mignon every night. If I trust God, I'll have the best job in the world, and so on. So, but the verse, God loves you. I want to seek first his kingdom. his righteous will never go hungry, if you will, right? So God loves you. It's unnecessary. We don't need to be anxious about things. Food and clothing, those are the basics of life. And covering, God will take care of you. Number four, it's unbecoming. Again, because he says the Gentiles do this. Gentiles meaning just those who don't really know God, those who don't love God, the unbelievers, if you will, right? Because it focuses on what I don't have. It focuses on the earthly things. It focuses on the gift and not the giver. Right? And number five, just it's wrong because it's sinful. Because really what Christ says there, worry is unbelief. Really what that is. Anxiety is unbelief. Again, that's discouraging, but it's also very hopeful. It's very hopeful because I can see the reality of that. I can see the reality of the unbelief, and God can change that belief into unbelief. What does Christ, when he, where is it? It's in Mark. The man comes to Christ and says, can you heal my daughter? He's like, well, if you have faith. He's like, I do believe. I have faith. Help my unbelief. We can cry out to God. Excuse me, I can't remember the passage off the top of my head right now. I apologize. We cry out to God, help my unbelief. And also worry, it says, is idolatry. And so we can repent of our idolatry of other things, of worshiping and trying to control other things. And really, if you get to the root of it, worry is a result of worshiping control. I can control this. And if I don't, I'm anxious. Like for me, I wanted to control every detail of the mission trip in Honduras. I needed to be wise about it. I needed to plan about it, but I couldn't control every single detail because I'm not God. Again, get into the heart of anxiety. You know, a lot of this is similar. Get a lot of the same extra questions. Yes, Elaine. Yes, just a few minutes. We'll be done with this section here. Just a little bit, Elaine. Thank you so much. And then we'll take another break. Yep. Again, so a lot of the same questions, very similar, if not almost exactly the same as with fear there, so you can read those again. But some of the best questions to ask, what am I wanting that I'm not getting? And what am I getting that I'm not wanting, such that I'm being anxious? I have to ask myself that question almost every day about something. Right? Very helpful to deal with what is in my... Okay, so then how do we overcome anxiety? Whoops, some wrong ways. A couple things. We minimize it. Oh, it's not a big deal. We don't want to do that because it is a big deal. Pious wishing. Oh, I'm great. Right? My own effort of I'm awesome and I can do this and I'll just go drink. I'll just go hiking. Manipulating people. Again, activity. All I do is talk about it. That can be helpful, but we need to do more than just that. Right? Doing, again, activities, selfish praying. By that, it's just more, God help me. And it's not about the goodness of God, the holiness of God, not about thanking him and trusting in him. It's just selfish if it's all about me. Right ways, again, we need to start praying rightly. I think they're up here. We need to pray rightly. We need to pray Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Right thoughts, things that are true. Lovely, honorable, right? We need to recognize and confess our worry as sin. We have to recognize that. We have to recognize anxiety as an affront to the sovereignty and goodness of God. That is huge. And when we trust that, when we believe that, and we believe what the Word says, that anxiety is unbecoming of a believer, that we can start the change. Start the change. We thank God for His goals and our trials. We'll talk about it a little bit later, but quickly, the goal in trials is Christ-likeness. God has us in the trial of anxiety, maybe, to teach us to trust in Him, right? Other things there, we need to start thinking rightly. Number two, thinking rightly. Again, so maybe we make a list of things that are true, a think list. What are true? What's true right now about the situation? What are truths about God? What are truths about the situation? What are truths about whatever? Again, remind ourselves of God's provision. Find solutions to the problem. Rather than getting anxious, I need to find a solution. I'm anxious about a new job. I need to go through the process of doing that. And think on the character of God. Reading through Isaiah 40 through 48 is key. It's the character of who God is. It says, who's like me?
nobody.
Right. Remember all that God has given to you. It's for your good. Another quote there from MacArthur, you can read on your own. We redirect our faith in self or other people to find faith in God. This quote's a little longer, but it's great, from Martin Lloyd-Jones, who struggled with depression for a long time and anxiety. He says, faith is, we need to not be anxious, but we need to have faith in God. Faith, according to our Lord's teaching, is primarily thinking. He says, we must spend more time in studying our Lord's lessons in observation and deduction. The Bible is full of logic. We must never think of faith as something purely mystical. That's so key. We do not just sit down in an armchair and expect marvelous things to happen to us. This is not the Christian faith. Christian faith is essentially thinking. Look at the birds. Think about them. Draw your deductions. Look at the grass. Look at the lilies of the field. Consider them. Again, what he's talking about here in Matthew 6, right? Faith, if you like, can be defined like this. It is a man insisting upon thinking when everything seems determined to bludgeon and knock him down. The trouble with a person of little faith is that instead of controlling his own thoughts, his thought is being controlled by something else, but the anxiety. And as we put it, he goes round and round in circles. That is the essence of worry. That is not thought. That is the absence of thought, a failure to think. I love that. That is so key in helping us to overcome anxiety. Thinking rightly, as MacArthur said earlier, it's thinking more in the right direction. And not only do we have to pray right and think right, we have to act right. Right action, right? So that's just putting into practice what we've been talking about. Obeying those impulses, and obeying the Word of God, obeying just what He says. Right living leads to less anxiety. Right? So we need to faithfully do what God has called us to do, despite how we feel. Again, we're talking more about that with depression. You notice we didn't talk about anything about medication. We'll talk about that in the depression section, because a lot of those go hand in hand. Okay? And homework, and a lot of other great homework assignments there. And pretty much all of these assignments are things that I have done. If there might be a few that have come out, things I've done later, maybe books that have come out later that I haven't read yet. But actually, all of these I have done because of my anxiety struggles in the past. And so I put this here because these have been helpful for me, and these have been instructed to me by other counselors, other pastors, and so that's why I've given them to you. Okay? I know we kind of went with it real quickly, but again, because a lot of the stuff we talk about, fear and anxiety, a lot of them overlap, and so that's why I put them together. Yes, Mary? Oh, sorry. That's an abbreviation. Psalm 18 worksheet. What I'll do here at our break, I will print that out. Psalm 18 worksheet for you guys, and we can briefly go over that. But it's really helps us to see what our object of worship is through Psalm 18, and helps us to rely on God more. Yep. Yeah. Some of these other homework assignments that you're like, what are these? If they're not books, they're not as clearly explained as you would like. Just let me know. I'll go from there. All right, I'll take a little bit of a break. If you need to move your car, do so, and then we'll gather back.